The E-Commerce Uncovered podcast is a behind-the-scenes look at what makes e-commerce a success in today's ever-growing and continually changing online world. The podcasts look to uncover the secrets of e-commerce success so you can learn and apply to your own online business. Brought to you by the co-founders of Core Fulfillment, one of the UK's leading e-commerce fulfillment providers, Paul Burns and Jeremy Vernon.
Hi, Jeremy Vernon here, and welcome to another episode of E-commerce Uncovered. Rare opportunity to welcome back Paul to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Co-host, by the way, obviously. You've not been around for a while, have you? So
No, I'm not pulling my weight on the podcast, but that will change.
Yeah. So we just thought one of the things that we're planning in our business at the moment, just for reference, we're in June at the moment. One of the things we are doing in our business is planning for peak season. Now, peak season for us, like a lot of retailers, will be Q4, so Cyber Weekend to Christmas, there and thereabouts. What obviously we're doing at the moment is starting to plan for what that looks like and obviously what sort of growth we are expecting, what we need to do to that, and just all the planning going into coping with the sort of peak of Q4 2018. So we thought it would be a great idea really to give sort of our 15 key things to consider for peak season planning. This obviously is relevant to most businesses, obviously more relevant to anyone that has a warehouse operation. And obviously if you don't and you outsource it, then this could easily be a way of asking questions to your fulfillment provider or your warehouse, however you do it, just to see if they're planning for peak. Now, obviously, again, we're assuming that peak is Black Friday, Cyber Weekend towards Christmas. Now, that's not relevant for every business. If you're a business that's focused around Valentine's Day, obviously this is not necessarily the right timing. But we just want to bring you these. It is relevant to any other business, but this is what we're planning now for sort of Q4 2018. So the top thing really mentioned it, is start to plan now.
Yeah. Previously, I ran our operation, and particularly back years ago when it was really seasonal, we Disney being a very much a Q4 business, I think the numbers were something like we used to do 60% of our output for them in the last 8 weeks of the year. It was all geared up around that time. And fortunately for us in this podcast, I can assure you I never did enough planning in those days. But it's also, it can be hindered. Your planning as in our business can be hindered by not getting enough information from your customers. So working with loads of small businesses at the minute, asking them for forecasts, what kind of numbers they're going to do, is it's not always easy for those guys to pin that down. You know, we're working with 70 clients now, so it's only fair for us to offer the best service possible across the board. We have to try and sort of dig in and get as much information, look at previous years, what we've done for individuals, look at what they might be growing at this rate or decreasing if they are. But Black Friday, Cyber Weekend, Cyber Monday seems to get more and more aggressive every year. We're hoping to do double at least this year that we did last year. So planning is even more important than ever before. And one of the things we've said to our team is any changes that we want to make to the operation or the system or how we work, we want in place by September 1st. So we've had plenty of time to bed it in. And that once we get sort of October 1st, it's just head down into the wind. This is the way we work and we just get on with it.
If you're an organically growing business, so you're growing through just pure organic growth like we are, so we're sort of seeing in excess of 100% year-on-year growth, you've got to factor your growth in and also what that factor of growth is to a peak. So a very high sort of peak, like something like Cyber Weekend. So depending on, you know, if you're the retailer, you're more in control of the promotions that you'll do. But if you like us, it's 70 people's promotions that you've got to consider. So yeah, it's not always the same.
Promotions are a good thing to come on to as well there. So online businesses are so, they can put these promotions in so quickly. It's not like the old days of the high street where they had to have media out there or advertising to say what the deal was. We used to have it with previous clients where if they weren't hitting their numbers for the week on a Friday night, they would put a promotion on Friday night for the weekend, wouldn't tell us, and we would come in Monday and we would have twice as much traffic as we thought we were going to have. And that was in the old days before we had sort of great visibility on our orders on a sort of hourly or even less than hourly basis. So you'd come in Monday and you'd be ringing them up going, what's going on? And they're like, yeah, we've put on an offer. And sometimes at that time of year, If you get behind on your forecast, you know, when you're planning to bring staff in, have hardware go live, if you get behind, you might never catch up. And that was always, especially again, when we were working with one big customer, we used to have to kind of get home to them that, look, you might not get the chance to catch up on these sales later in the quarter, because if we physically or your partner couldn't physically get them out the door, then there's no point saying, well, we'll have a bigger Black Friday weekend. You may lose out altogether.
Also on promotion planning, if you know there's going to be certain items, certain product lines that are going to be fast movers, you may choose to store them differently. You may choose them to have in bulk pick locations rather than smaller pick locations. So these sorts of things, you might have a pallet pick instead of a smaller pick face that you may have ordinarily for that product, just because you get the efficiencies, don't you? In that peak, you can do bulk picking from a much bigger location. It might also be closer to the packing operation as well.
Yeah, and I think it's easy. I think it's easy for the retailer to think, well, that's not really for them to worry about, you know, how we do our bit. And I would say 95% of the year, that's the case. How we keep our product, store it and choose to pick it is our concern. But when everybody's going mental at that time of year in terms of volume, every little thing helps that product get to the customer on time, quicker. It's the time when we would definitely speak to our customers more just to see what was going on, really.
Carriers, obviously, are a big part of making sure that you get through the peak season. Now, you can make your warehouse as efficient and as slick as possible. If that pickup for the carrier fails, then all of your hard work is wasted, certainly from a customer's perspective. Depends on what promises you're making in terms of delivery schedules, dispatch schedules, all those sorts of things. But carrier pickup schedule and volume requirements, it's best to start speaking with the carrier, whichever carriers you use. Start speaking to them now. Can they, for example, leave you a stand trailer? If they normally pick up with a 7.5 tonner or the 18 tonner, whatever it is, can they leave you a stand trailer? You can have the stand trailer and that can be picked up every night. And obviously timings of that as well.
That's one of the advantages that we have. So we're working with, you know, 8 carriers. So that helps you out in lots of ways. So somebody might fail on you, you could switch traffic to another carrier. If one particular carrier at that time of year is really struggling, like years ago there was one, I won't mention any names, but they had a really bad year. And with us working with multiple carriers, we can go back to our customers and say, actually guys, we're noticing these guys are starting to really struggle. And it might even be that sort of that last week, you know, when people are getting really tight for getting this stuff, that we would recommend to our customers, you know what, you should really upgrade everything to a next day, as opposed to using the economy services. I think that's less the case now, certainly for us. Retailers have done a great job of moving that peak forward. It used to be second, third week of December, and now it really is the last week of November. So people are less sensitive about when the product is going to arrive. Then if you were ordering it, I don't know, 18th of December, and it hasn't arrived after a couple of days, you're getting a bit twitchy already, and a weekend falls ahead of it. In a sense, it's a bit less manic. And carriers are obviously, you know, I remember years ago, carriers never used to deliver on a Saturday and Sunday, even at those times. Whereas at that time of year now, that's standard that they would be delivering every day.
Yeah, I think some people have even extended the peak even further, because we have Black Friday week rather than Black Friday. Yeah. So it starts pretty much at the weekend prior now, which obviously helps to a certain extent. But it also remains to be seen how much, certainly from a UK perspective, how much Black Friday continues as it has been previously, because Black Friday isn't actually relevant, is it, to the UK? It's a very much an American-led thing where the retailers become profitable at that point after
weekend,
Thanksgiving. Obviously, that's not relevant to us, but we've obviously jumped on the marketing bandwagon for that, retailers bringing peak forward, which fully understand.
If we're still doing this in 10 years, we might be doing Black Friday in June. You never know.
Planning in Jan. Carriers, obviously we're speaking to them now, getting an idea of what they can cope with, what you expect your output to be, pickup times, all those sorts of things. Obviously just build that in now, start speaking to the carriers, your account managers, and planning now for how that will work for that period.
I think I heard rumours a few years ago that some of the carriers they're getting so close to maxing out that they're asking people like us for an estimate to say, well, how much traffic are you going to put through us each week? And if you said to them all of a sudden, I really want to ramp that up, they might struggle to take it. You know, these guys ultimately have a capacity. And again, that's the great thing about being able to spread the load across several partners.
Yeah, why would a carrier build an infrastructure capable of coping with one day's...
200% as biggest week, yeah.
One day's or a couple of days worth of volume for another 360 odd days of the year. They wouldn't, would they?
No, they wouldn't, no.
So I know some carriers obviously plan for it, but they're not going to build new warehouses purely for the sake of a peak volume. Okay, next one, staff resource. Obviously a big one, various different elements to this. So current staff, obviously you'll have, typically in a warehouse, you'll probably have a mixture of full-time employees, part-time employees, agency staff. You need to understand there's training requirements behind all that, especially if you're thinking of scaling up through temporary staff. What roles people play, the supervision of those roles, training on systems, training on things like health and safety, various different things to consider with staff.
And this is really when having a really slick, easy to learn process pays dividends, you know. So somebody can come in and an hour later they can pack your orders or pick the orders. It's rare they would get onto the more complex roles, but being able to drop in extra resources is key, because you never know when the rush is going to come. It's got to be able to take two or three new people a day as it builds towards that crazy peak and get them in and up and running, and very quickly be at the same sort of productivity rates as your other guys.
That's also, you know, your temporary staff, you're going to have to assume that just because someone comes in one day, you've trained them to do the job, they won't necessarily turn in the next. It's obviously the nature of that ad hoc, busy time of year type role. People aren't committed to it, and you can understand that.
Yep.
So you've really got to have a very simple process that takes very little training, certainly for the lesser skilled roles.
Yeah.
But then obviously you may decide that you need to bring some of your staff in that are longer term people within your business, that they do at higher level roles.
Well, I think this is also when your reputation as a business starts to play a part, because there'll be certain jobs in any area that are more desirable than others. You know, I think, you know, when people are working in refrigerated warehouses and stuff, I'm sure that's not as appealing as working somewhere that's more ambient. So I think your reputation of how you treat your staff and your colleagues can really pay dividends at that time, because people will want to come to your place as opposed to going somewhere else.
One thing I've got here I think is great, and it's sometimes it's quite hard to admit this, but the next thing we've got on the list here is identify the current weaknesses in your operation, because ultimately you just put a load more volume in there, you add more stress to the whole thing, and it's the weakest elements that are going to break first. So I think it's just worth being very honest about your current process, what works well, what doesn't work well. You can obviously spend some time now when it's not completely and utterly manic to look at those things and work on the weakest areas. So everything will be put under pressure and strain during a peak season, and the weak areas obviously will be the ones that go first.
Yeah, a lot of big places. I think the guys at M&S talked about it when we were over there, actually. They'll sort of stress test certain things by holding back orders and having a really busy shift just to see how things go. So it's a really important part of just, and again, it's a little bit like we said before, having those things improved or pinned down by September 1st, October 1st, it'll really help in that those last 3 months.
Something we've adopted relatively recently is a sort of a program of continuous improvement. It's just something you can build into anything that you're doing on a routine basis, identify, put something in place, improve, all those sorts of things. So that whole continuous improvement program will help with that. But I think it's just worth considering what weaknesses you have and what they may look like in a situation of peak. Obviously, to be able to do all of the processing of orders and fulfilling all the products, the big area really to consider now is obviously getting that product in, so inbound and goods in.
It's very easy to focus so much on how do we get X number of orders out the door each day or each week. Just for argument's sake, if you're going to ship 1 million items in the last quarter of the year, you've got to get at least 1 million in through the door. As we well know, that is really your skilled resource there, because if you don't get that bit right, the picking becomes hard, then the pack doesn't ever get to the packers. Most sort of warehouse ops would agree that inbound is really the key to having a slick outbound. You know, one doesn't work without the other. And it's every client is putting us under pressure at that time of year. You know, if sales go well, they're trying to get more in from their suppliers, get it booked in quicker. The sooner we book it in, the sooner it's on their website and the sooner it's out the door, essentially. So there's a lot of pressure on that time. In the past, we've never had to be that stringent with delivering on this day and at this time. But I could see this year us having to say, look, actually, we've got stuff coming in that day, So we'll have to communicate to our customers a bit better to say, look, you need to be more defined on when stuff's going to arrive to us.
I think it's also probably quite relevant to what goes on promotion or what might be a larger volume within peak. A lot of Black Friday stuff will be end of line, end of season.
Yep.
So that may already be in, which is great. But obviously some may be having relatively late deliveries, which will then get instantly promoted. So it's, again, speaking to suppliers, customers about what products it is and when they're due to be.
They could be pre-ordered as well. You know, it could be the case that somebody sold 1,000 or something before it even arrives at us. And then it's inevitably the case that they need to go out the door straight away.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, inbound, we've spoken about, we've touched on it, but outbound, obviously, is a big part of it. So planning to get it all in, make sure you've got all of the everything planned, scheduled in to get all of the outbound processed into location and ready for picking when those orders do come in. Obviously, predicting what those orders are is the difficult bit. But obviously, then you've got to get them out. So we've touched on carrier pickups and schedules, which is the latter part of all of that, but you've still got to get them from your sort of pick location through to being packed and ready to be shipped and picked up by carriers.
Yeah, spare hardware and stuff like that to make sure, you know, if your barcode scanners break or your computer terminals break, you know, you at that time of year, one or two of those down at any one time is really killing you. So as opposed to the how do we fix it and how long does it take, it's more of a swap it in and swap it out and just get that bench back up and running again.
I suppose benches as well. You know, you might run however many benches ordinarily. You might need to double those benches. You might need to
increase your shift numbers.
Yeah, so you might go to a 24-hour operation if you're not already. Obviously, if you are, then you presumably will need more benches. Have you got those benches? Have you got the room for those benches? That, as you said, the hardware associated with those benches. Yeah. If you've got hardware, you've got to consider things like software licenses. It may be a software license for your WMS, or it may be a software license for the Windows application. Mm-hmm. But all of these things need to be considered that you've got all in place. Again, worth thinking about now. If you've obviously got something like a cloud-based system like we have, the license thing is less of an issue.
Yeah.
But still, something we'll come on to, you need to obviously speak to suppliers to make sure that the systems can work for the volumes that you're predicting. But certainly from an outbound, obviously, we talked about staff, so the staffing's part of that, but those staff need hardware to the, if you've got all scanners, they need all of those. If you've got tablets or PDAs, make sure you've got all of those and spares. If there's problems, breakages, those sorts of things. So just planning really for the actual getting those orders through your warehouse that you can cope with that. We've talked about inbound, we've talked about outbound, but obviously you still need the space to store this product now. That, I think, certainly at the time of year that we're talking at sort of Q4, end of Q3, beginning of Q4, space becomes a real issue for a lot of businesses.
Yeah. At the start of this year, we thought space wouldn't be an issue. We're already
full.
a little bit full at the minute, it feels like. But planning that space, because I think one of the things that always surprised me was, okay, you've got all your racking, you know how many pallet spaces you've got. It's more the space to process that on the floor, you know. So three trucks turn up, you know, that's 80 pallet spaces you need on the floor. Then if that stuff needs breaking down, that could break down into 106. It takes up, you know, hundreds of square feet very quick. And that's when you've got to have your, you know, it's coming in, getting checked, going away really quick, get it off the floor so you can get something else in. But yeah, it becomes a real, and bear in mind what you've got coming in, you then have to store the product going out until the carriers arrive. You know, I know we've got numerous pickups throughout the day, but you could have 30, 40 pallets, 50 pallets a day ready to get picked up, just depending on your volume. So it really does eat up your standing floor space.
We have experience of this, that pallets aren't always the same height. Some people think pallet heights are one thing and others think it's another. So, you know, your racking, for example, will be configured to a certain pallet height.
Yep.
So if you have oversized pallets come in, you've obviously got to rework those pallets to get them into location if you're putting them into pallet racking. So all these things you need to consider. So it's probably, again, worth sort of knowing that in advance of how that's going to happen to be able to space plan.
And bear in mind, some places, not so much us, but some places are really strict on those pallet heights coming in. So if they turn up at the wrong height at that time of year, you could be getting knocked back, which obviously means then you can't process your orders or meet your sales targets. So some warehouses are really strict on what's coming in just because they have to get it away at that speed.
Yeah. Another area, I think, we touched on it a little bit, but another area I think is worth having or considering now is like a problem-solving channel, an exception channel. So really, you know, if within the sort of busyness of peak, something doesn't work. So a great example would be something doesn't scan properly, something we're looking at the moment. So obviously, yeah, you know, you put all of these processes in place, all the products put away, you've got into location, you scan the location, you scan the product, all those sorts of things. And suddenly someone comes to you and said, this doesn't scan, what do we do next? Having a defined channel of what happens, an exception channel or a problem solving channel, what happens if this doesn't work as it's planned? So
yeah, again, we've had that in the past where if you, trying to think now of one of the examples, so if somebody isn't replenishing, you know, there's a time lag sometimes. On the olden days, it used to be before it was all scanned. But if somebody had replenished the location systematically but not moved the stock, if it was one of your big sellers, for example, you could have 100 orders queried very, very quickly just because somebody had transferred it physically, then gone for the lunch, and all those orders are still coming in. You know, there's all those, this sort of, there's a chain event there, chain reaction when you start to move stock around your warehouse, print your orders, and as we used to, all those things have got to be sort of harmonious in order to make sure something doesn't screw up.
Yeah, I know larger businesses, and probably we're moving towards that, but larger businesses will have problem-solving teams. They'll have dedicated people that will be literally going around and looking for these exceptions where people, you know,
highlight. We've seen those control rooms, haven't they? Where a team of people waiting for something to maybe go wrong, and just there so they can fix it as quick as possible.
Which is key to getting those out of the door. One that's easy to forget is consumables, and what I mean by consumables is boxes, sellotape, shipping labels. Shipping labels is a big one. You don't know necessarily how many orders you're going to process in any one time over that particular weekend. But if you run out of labels and you're on thermal print, then you're not getting anything out the door. You're screwed, basically. So, you know, things like that really, really need to be considered. And again, thinking about ordering those labels in advance, everyone will be doing it. Everyone will be wanting the labels in advance of the peak, which means that the supplies of those labels may be running low, or
opportunistically putting the prices up.
Yeah, so their lead times may be greater.
We've had it before with our boxes. We had a sort of reserve of boxes with a supplier, and we called up to call them off, and they'd gone and sold them to someone else. And so we were left and ringing around box suppliers. Well, box suppliers at November are all pretty busy. Hence, needless to say that we have a better relationship now with our packaging supplier. But yeah, I've been there before. They're going, oh yeah, they're not around anymore. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, so always good to have plenty of consumables around. You will use them, no doubt.
Yeah.
But just something to consider really when peak planning, because something I think that could be easily forgotten. We've touched on this next one, sort of promotion planning, high volume items. So we've really, really talked about that one. So depending on if you're the retailer yourself, you'll know what products you're promoting more heavily than others. If obviously you're working like ourselves with other retailers, if they can give you an idea of which products they're promoting, you can then potentially change your systems and your ways of processing those orders to help with that. So we've touched a little bit on that, so we won't go any further with that one. We've mentioned this one, but we obviously need to touch on it now, but systems. So yeah, having the hardware and the software licenses for your WMS or your PCs, all that sort of stuff. But obviously systems is something you need to consider.
Yeah, like bandwidth and stuff. You know, if you're using a sort of wireless network within your business, you know, if you've got twice, three times as many people using that, you know, how does it hold up? I think multiple lines as well, it's sort of lease lines into the business in case one fails, all these things. And it's all stuff that's extremely unlikely to happen, but inevitably these things crop up at the worst possible moment, don't they?
We've mentioned it, you know, stress testing it under more controlled conditions. As you said, we've seen sort of like the M&S warehouses, they'll stop orders, make sure that nothing gets processed so they can push a load of orders through in a very, very short space of time, and stress test the systems just to see if there's anything that goes wrong. Again, well worth doing, making sure, you know, we mentioned cloud-based systems. Will the cloud-based system, have you got enough processing power? Do the servers cope with it?
Yeah.
Is it going to grind to a halt? Is it going to slow down? You know, even things like how long it takes for the call to the carrier to get the tracking number to then print the label.
If that all slows down at that time of year, that's going to really hit you hard.
to add 3 seconds onto every order just to print the label, for example, that'll soon tally up and make a big difference. So, yeah, stress test. Things like if you have regular maintenance on your systems, if you have regular updates, make sure all of those updates are done well in advance of peak. Make sure that any bugs are resolved or anything like that. So, and obviously, might seem a really obvious thing to say, but don't do any updates or maintenance during that time. It might be silly to say that, but I'm sure some people probably do try to do things. But I think if you know the system is stable and you've stress tested it, there's very little point trying to improve things from there. One thing, we've touched on it obviously with sort of secondary lines for things like ADSL lines or SDSL lines or lease lines, whatever you have. A disaster recovery contingency. Most businesses will obviously have a disaster recovery plan, but obviously that's quite relevant to a very short resolution, certainly for a cyber weekend, for example. Mm-hmm. So just make sure really you've got plans for what happens if your phone lines go down, what happens if, if your WMS has a blip or goes down. Just some things you will be able to control, some things you won't be able to control, but it's really just all part of your disaster recovery plan.
The carriers as well, isn't it? If one carrier has a meltdown, as we said before, switch across to another one very quickly, and having the ability to do that on, so you've got 70 customers all selling a certain shipping service online, and you might need to be able to be the one that flips that across for them at extremely short notice.
One of the really good thing I think to consider is prior years. So lessons learned really from either your prior years or other people's, if you've got customers that have had an issue in a prior year, or if you have other peaks, you might have more than one peak in a year, one might be bigger than the other. What lessons can you learn from what happened last time? So if there's something that happened last year, what can you do to prevent that happening? Have you logged it? Have you discussed it internally? Is there things that you've put in place to make sure that those sort of things can't happen again? Or certainly if they do happen again, you've got a procedure to follow. One thing here, certainly that's affected us in the past and is extremely unpredictable, especially in the UK, is weather.
The big freeze, I can't remember what year it was now, but it must be 2011, 2012.
It was that when we had a lot of snow?
No, it was that hard ice. You remember where it was a frost or a little bit of snow and then it froze really hard. Well, I remember at our previous location, there was like a decline, there was a slope down to our loading area, and we had truck drivers saying they're not driving down there because they won't get back up, and nowhere had any salt. So I know every morning I walk in at the minute, we've got half a pallet of grit and salt out the front, because getting it was nigh on impossible. I remember driving around 4 or 5 different Travis Perkins yards, trying to chuck this stuff in the back of my car. But yeah,
I think we were even considering nicking it out of the green grip, the yellow grip bins, weren't we? Yeah. Just trying to get some. Yeah. But we haven't got that slope anymore at the new site, which is great. But yeah, things, it sounds obvious now, but things like, have you got all your grit to be able to make your site safe? Obviously, health and safety is an issue. You've got more people on site. You've got a busier site. You've got more vehicles on site. Can those vehicles move around safely? Can they get out of the yard, which is the one of the things we had? So it's all these things, again, plan for the worst possible weather and everything around that. Make sure you've got your grit in. Make sure you've got your health and safety plan. That's, you know, where people should walk in slippy conditions, all those sorts of things worth considering. If it doesn't happen, great. One less thing to think about.
I think just specifically on the grit thing, I think the key to the gritting is to do it before it's frosty. We've had a terrible habit of doing after the frost has come, but it's, yeah, so it's deadly as you're putting it out. So yeah, that's our big one for this year, I think.
Weather-wise, we've got obviously other things that could affect you weather-wise other than the grit side of things. But I think, didn't we have printers that froze and all those sorts of things?
Unbeknownst to me at the time, most electrical equipment has a minimum operating temperature. And I remember getting a call, because we were 24 hours at the time, and I got a call from the guy saying, all the printers have stopped working at the same time. It's 3 a.m. And I was like, it just doesn't seem right. Went into the office, and the guys at the time, they had sort of little fan heaters on the desk because it was pretty cold in the warehouse. And one of them had just happened to knock it and it started pointing at the printer. And after about 30 seconds, it kicked into life, this printer. So I remember having 8 or 9 packing guys pointing these fan heaters at the printing units just to bring them back to life.
I'm not sure you could ever plan and know that sort of thing may happen.
But so I, think, I couldn't, no.
No, I mean, not every warehouse will be heated. Most warehouses, certainly bigger ones, probably will be ambient. So heating them is relatively expensive. Yeah. So these sorts of things with, I guess we were in an older building, less insulated. Hopefully here it won't
different
be such an issue.
Different equipment back then as well. But, thermal labels now, which are a bit less temperamental than those other printers.
Yeah, so certainly weather can cause some unexpected issues, and it's the right time of year. Towards the end of the year, we could get some harsh weather.
Even your staff getting to work in the inclement weather is a challenge as well. Yeah.
Final one that we just want to talk about, and something really, you know, we've concentrated more getting things in and out and through the system during a peak. But one thing you can't really ignore is the return side of things, because obviously that ultimately will be increased, obviously not at the time of peak, but certainly shortly after peak. Returns processing will no doubt take a big increase. So don't ignore the returns.
January is always nuts, isn't it? The postal networks have always been so busy that they tend to build up for a little while and then they hit you all in one go. So yeah, first week of Jan, second week of Jan will be really spiky on returns. And obviously that means a lot of potential exchanges, different sizes and stuff for people. And refunds as well. So it's always kind of catches you off, because January's still busy for us now. You know, January sale, January sale starting 24th of December now, but it's still a busy time. It's easy to think that it's going to be quiet after Christmas, but it's not always the case.
Okay, well, that was our 15 key things to consider for peak planning. I hope that was of some use for you. If obviously you've got any comments or you would like to sort of comment on this or anything else that we've done, you can head over to our website for the podcast, which is ecommerceuncovered.co.uk. All of our podcasts are there, so you can listen online as well there, or via sort of the normal Stitcher, iTunes channels, etc. So hopefully that's been of use, and thank you very much for tuning in.
Thank you.